Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was an exceptionally cold Boston Sunday morning, the kind where the weather is so bad they had already called off school for the following Monday long ago. And I found myself in our chapel just across the hall serving gluten-free communion with one of our youth. In between the passing of the bread and the cup to the very few folks who braved the ice that day to join us, this young person leaned over to me. They had a smile creeping out of the corners of their looks. And he said to me, "You know, Kat, I think on the ninth day, God created the snow day." Knowing how that story of creation from Genesis goes, and perhaps most importantly, that the story pretty famously takes place over 7 days, I turned back to this young person and said, "Okay, but if the snow day was created on the ninth day, then what did God create on the eighth?" Without missing a beat, they turned back to me and said, "Oh, on the eighth day? Yeah, that's when God created the field goal. And God said it was good." Perfect. No notes. I like to think that I'm some sort of elevated person with especially unique tastes, but I'm not. There's nothing I love more than a joke like this one, one that pulls on commonality. One that assumes you already have the shared context to be in on it. Because I guess if you live here, then of course you're a New England sports fan. And if you're a New England sports fan, then of course you can respect the divine importance of a field goal. And if not that, if sports aren't your thing, then surely across the generations we can be unified by the blessedness of a good snow day. I love things like that. Things that let us find a way into one another. Things that draw us together around a shared reference point. It's the same reason that I try as hard as I can to know what's going on with Taylor Swift's music, even if I don't particularly listen to it. It's the same reason that I spend hours reading the Wikipedia page rundowns for popular TV shows that are too scary for me to actually watch. I want to be in on it. I want to know the things that you know. I want to know what textures your life, so that then, when you tell me about them, I have at least one little doorway into the world as you know it. Shared language matters. Shared references matter. The little things we know together matter. They're not everything, of course. Knowing the bridge to a Taylor Swift song will not heal the world, though I know some of you might disagree. Reading the Wikipedia summary of a show I'm too scared to watch will not solve the great crises of our time. But there is perhaps something sacred in the desire beneath it, the desire to connect with one another, to find a way in. The desire to say, even across difference, there is surely something here that we can hold together. And Jesus, our beloved connector, perhaps knows this best. Jesus is forever reaching for the language people already know how to hold. He talks about seeds and soil and bread and vines, water and wind, sparrows and lilies, and sheep and shepherds. Jesus does this not because what he has to say is simple, but because what he has to say is important enough to be made plain. Rarely does Jesus begin a lesson with vague abstraction. He starts most often with the textures of daily life, with the things people have seen, the creatures they have known, the type of work their bodies have done and understand, with the very land beneath their feet. And here, in our scripture today from John 10, Jesus reaches for the language of sheep. Now, for many of us, sheep are not exactly the common language of daily life. Most of us did not pass a flock on the way into church this morning. Few of us are headed home after worship to check on our sheepfold. If you are, I would love to hear more about that at coffee hour. But for Jesus' first audience, this was the familiar language. Sheep belonged to the ordinary world of land and labor around them, the one of weather and hunger, provision and danger, and sheep belonged to the sacred imagination of ancient Israel too. The psalmist had already sung, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The prophets of ancient Israel had spoken of leaders as shepherds, sometimes faithful, often failed. And so, for Jesus to use this example here, he's assuming that these people are in on it, that they'll know to talk about sheep was to talk about a relationship of care and dependence. To talk about shepherds was to talk about those who hold power, and to talk about gates was to talk about who gets brought into the fold, who gets kept out, and who gets to decide. At this point in Jesus' ministry, by the time we land here in the Gospel of John, Jesus has realized that he's speaking into a world that has grown very comfortable with stratification, a world where some people have learned how to stand at the gate and decide who belongs, and others have learned what it means to wait outside. A world where illness and poverty and difference were too often treated as disqualifications. Where access to care and dignity hinged on who you were, who you knew, and whether those in power were willing to make room. And so, into this world of sordid lives and guarded thresholds, Jesus says, "All of you are sheep." He does not say, "Some of you are sheep and some of you are shepherds." He does not say, "Some of you are needy and some of you are above needing." He does not divide the room into the dependent and the self-sufficient. All of you are sheep. That is what Jesus says. Not one of you is beyond dependence. The sheep cannot survive by pretending they need no one. They cannot flourish by sheer grit or rugged individualism or a well-curated 5-year plan. They have to live by care. They lived by guidance, by water and the pasture, by the quality of the world around them, and by whether the one leading them can be trusted. Their lives are entirely bound up in what surrounds them. And so are ours. We may be more practiced at pretending otherwise. We have learned how to insulate ourselves, at least for a time. We turn on a faucet and forget the river that runs to it. We open a refrigerator and forget the field that supplies it. We speak of independence as though it were the goal. But for all of our polished independent lives, for all of our pretending otherwise, we are creatures too. We live by breath we did not create. Water we cannot manufacture, soil we did not invent, food grown by hands we've never met, communities we did not build alone, mercy we cannot earn. We live by God. We live by the earth. We live by one another. That is the common denominator beneath every other common denominator. Before we are divided by taste or politics or generation or personality, before we are people who understood a joke about a field goal or people who smiled politely and waited for that part to be over, before any of that, we are creatures. Creatures among creatures in need of care and capable of being led toward life or away from it. So look around. Take these promises in. Protect our water and our air. Heal the earth, our sacred home. Kindle the hope that burns in us all. Let these things be your common language. If you share nothing else with the person sitting next to you, you share the oxygen that fills your lungs and this very ground beneath our feet. If we have one common language, it is that of creation. Can you hear the call of the Good Shepherd? The voice of Christ is not leading us away from the world God loves. It is leading us into deeper responsibility for it. We, the sheep of the flock, are being invited into a type of life that refuses to take more than what we can bless. God, who leads us beside still waters, is urging us to notice what is fragile and refuse to call it expendable. The one who promises pasture, that one is asking us to care about the pasture itself, to pay attention to what sustains life and what quietly erodes it, because abundant life, the kind of abundant life that Jesus names in today's scripture, is not about having more. It is about making sure there is enough, enough for the whole flock. Enough for those who come long after us. So that is the invitation, to listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd and then follow it. Follow it into a way of living that remembers we are not separate from the world but held within it. Creatures among creatures, beloved sheep. This is the most common language of all. We belong to the pasture. We belong to the shepherd. We belong to one another. So let us live like it. Amen.